Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Acts 26, the verses 12 to 18. Acts chapter 26, verse 12 to 18. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." My theme for reflection is when light interrupts the road. When light interrupts the road. Most of us like our journeys uninterrupted. We plan the route, pack our convictions, and assume we know exactly where we are going. Then Acts 26 reminds us, sometimes with a touch of holy irony, that God has a habit of stopping people mid-stride. Saul is not lost on the road to Damascus. He is confidently wrong. He is purposeful, authorized, and sincere, yet profoundly misdirected. That is the problem at the heart of this text. Zeal without illumination can still serve darkness. In Acts 26, 12 to 18, Paul recounts his story before King Agrippa. What we hear is not merely a conversion tale, but a reorientation of reality. Saul is confronted by a light brighter than the sun, a deliberate signal that this is not psychological disturbance, but divine disclosure. He falls blinded, disarmed of certainty. The voice of Jesus names the deeper issue. Saul has been fighting God while believing he was defending God. The resurrection does not simply forgive him, it interrupts him. What resolves the problem is not argument, but encounter. Jesus does not debate Saul's theology, he redirects his vocation. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," followed immediately by commission. "I appoint you as a servant and witness." Grace does not erase responsibility, it transforms it. Saul is sent to open eyes, to turn people from darkness to light, language that deliberately echoes Isaiah 42:6-7, where God's servant is called to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. The risen Christ places Paul squarely within Israel's long story of liberation, now widened to include the nations. This is not a call to comfort, but to courage. Paul is told that resistance will come, that suffering will follow, yet he is assured of divine presence. Here, a stoic insight sharpens the application. Epictetus taught that true freedom is not control over circumstances, but alignment with reality. Do not seek for things to happen the way you want them to. Rather, wish that what happens happen the way it happens. Wonderful ideas. Paul's transformation is precisely this. He yields his will to the truth revealed in Christ. Freedom comes not from stubborn control, but from surrender to a higher purpose. For Christian people today, this text speaks into moments when faith is reduced to inherited certainty or defensive posture. Saul was religiously correct and morally driven, yet spiritually blind. Acts 26 warns us that devotion without self-examination can become destructive, yet it also offers hope. No one is too entrenched, too complicit, or too certain to be interrupted by grace. God's mission advances not by perfect people, but by redirected ones. The church, like Paul, is sent not merely to argue, but to witness, to embody the movement from blindness to sight, from fear to forgiveness, from self-justification to shed hope. The light that stopped Paul still shines, unsettling our assumptions and expanding our compassion. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might sincere conviction in my life be blinding me to God's larger purpose? What would it mean for me to see my past not as wasted, but as redirected by grace? And now our practical exercise for the day. Today, intentionally listen before speaking, especially to someone with whom you disagree. Ask one question that opens understanding rather than defending position. Risen Christ, light of the world, interrupt our horrid certainties and expose the places where we mistake zeal for truth. Turn our blindness into vision, our resistance into obedience, and our fear into faithful witness. Send us as you sent Paul to live as people of light in a shadowed world. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.